Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So President Biden visited Texas today, and you know, I got to tell you, I watched the coverage of it, and I couldn't help but think that this is how a president should act. Didn't throw out any paper towels. Didn't offer to throw one box in a truck and send it on its way. Didn't ask for any adulation. Didn't look for any attention. Was there simply to provide some empathy, to bring some resources, and to do the kind of thing that a president does. And I have nothing more on that. I'm grateful that we have a president that is not going to take a tragedy and make it all about him. Good on him. And anyway, here to share some thoughts on a president that used to and is going to be very interesting this weekend. I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come back and talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the fabulous Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, brother, how are you?
So no paper towels. No, no, thank me or you get nothing.
Yeah, there was no international scorn for some kind of outrageous stunt that was pulled. There were meetings that were held that weren't even photo ops, where you're meeting with families and survivors and people who are victims of the storm and also of COVID, and people who are frontline workers, people who work at vaccination centers. I mean, it was a full trip, and First Lady Dr. Biden was there as well. And as weird as this may sound, you have President Biden in Texas, and you have Ted Cruz in Orlando, Florida, and so. It really, again, another vacation town. And then not only that, he trashed Orlando and said Cancun was better.
Yep.
So he's choosing Mexico over America. Just want to point that out. At CPAC, this weird cult that they've formed right now. But it's quite disappointing, not surprising. But the trip for President Biden was really it was good to see. He waited because – obviously during the height of the storm is not helpful, but when people start to look away, this is a perfect time for him to go. And then this carries it into the weekend and also points out not just what the crisis that they're facing due to the weather, but also in the storms. They're also pointing out the crisis that they're facing with COVID on top of everything else. And he'll bring resources to the state by his visit there. It puts a spotlight on it. It brings millions and millions of dollars back to the state through nonprofit money and also through money in government programs, and really draws that attention there. So I think he saved some lives today. Yep. And made it the least imposing kind of trip that you need to make. It's not we're shutting down all the highways intentionally and shutting down all the airports. Like he made it so it was the least impactful in regards to traffic and everything else around there. So I think it was a successful trip, and it was worthwhile, and it showed that he obviously cares about the American people, and his priority is not spreading propaganda to try and get himself reelected. It's about literally saving American lives.
And not punishing your political foes. I mean, Texas didn't vote for him.
Didn't question Abbott at all. Had no prerequisites for meeting with him. Went ahead and proactively, before they even spoke, had set up sending generators to the state. And setting up aid before they had even spoken. And he didn't really even need to ask until he asked for emergency declaration. He did that immediately. I mean, they were ready to go, and there were no political hangups because that's how it's supposed to be.
Exactly. That's how it's supposed to work. Right. Now, you brought up Crazy PAC, and I'm looking forward to
QPAC.
I'm looking forward to Trump's speech on Sunday, but the opening of this was kind of another one of those bizarre cultish kind of things, and we'll get to the golden goose or the golden whatever the hell that was, but they started off where you've got the people who are on stage saying, hey, we're in a private establishment, they've asked you to wear your mask, please do that, please respect other people's property. And the people at CPAC, lost their mind, booed, complained, said, oh, it's about freedom. And it's just this kind of weird moment where, one of the guy who was the executive director, he said, you have rules that you set in your own house. We're borrowing somebody else's house. We need to comply with that. The fact that you have to explain that it's a private hotel and it sets its own rules to talk to the pro-business people is kind of remarkable to me.
Yeah, and they've been trained to not wear masks, and they've been trained to not abide to humanity and making sure that everybody doesn't get sick. And so instead, they had, first of all, this event shouldn't have happened. It's a super spreading event and of mass proportions, because you have people who don't believe in the virus, that don't take precautions, that aren't wearing masks. And so you multiply that, that adds to the probability of it spreading throughout the entire conference. And it being a super spreader, not just for Florida, but also for the entire country, because then they're going back home after this. And this is what we're talking about, the irresponsibility. So, you have a corporation who owns the hotel saying that you have to wear masks, and they're wanting to warn people because you have a lawsuit chain at that point. So you don't want to be the one who gets sued. So the hotel's saying you got to put the masks on, because they realize, oh my God, people are going to get sick. Somebody's going to die from this, and we're going to get sued. And then those people then went up on stage and did the same thing. And so it all links back to, it's not even compassion. It's not about rules. It's about money. And so they don't care about people. I don't think that we should ever expect them to. I would figure after the results of a lot of this investigation comes out, I think it'll be revealed that Trump was actually in on the planning for the attack on the Capitol, and the people who were seditionists will be pushed out of Congress eventually, and Kinzinger, Cheney, and Romney will take over the Republican Party.
Well, that is the hope. But I'll tell you, in looking at what Crazy Pack is laid out so far, Josh Hawley coming, giving whatever victim speech he gave there, that, oh, they're persecuting me and all that craziness nonsense. This party looks dangerous to me. The people I've seen so far at Crazy Pack, these folks scare me.
Have you seen the Tea Party lately?
They seem sane, actually.
It's a little bit crazy to face, but yeah. And that they seem like, oh, okay, they just want to, rid of taxation and all the government, basically, but like they don't want to do it by bombing the Capitol.
Right. No, and to highlight this, on Sunday, during our Think Spot event, we're going to be sitting down with Joe Walsh, the former Tea Party congressman from Illinois, and debating some issues and talking about how, the left and the right and people who disagree can have conversations and can find hopefully some common ground. So I hope people will check that out on our Think Spot page at 8 o'clock on Sunday. But, I come back to this and they rolled out the golden goose or the golden dog or the golden goat or this obnoxious looking golden Trump. I was hoping it was a bobblehead. It wasn't, but he's got American shorts on. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was one of we had this Big Boy. It was the name of the restaurant, and
Yeah.
they have the thing. That's what it looked like. Is a golden
A
like,
golden big boy.
and I'm not trying to compare him to an animal, but that the Porky Pig kind of like it just was. It was that, and he's draped in like the American flag, which is disgusting, obviously. But it as a golden sort of Buddha-like statue, and I just remember being a person who was raised Catholic. I just remember, some things that I learned in religious school
Those two,
that,
those first two rules. This is
yeah.
one of those things that these are supposed to be the religious people, right? They want
Pulse.
those 10 rules plastered everywhere, yet
Right.
they violated the first two of them.
Right. And there's false idols definitely being pledged. I mean, I've never worked for a politician that I agreed with all the way. Actually, I don't think that I'd ever be hired by any of these politicians if I didn't disagree with them. I disagree with politicians all the time. Elected officials, way that we do things, I confront them, but in a positive or whatever, in a professional nature, at a constant. But I don't ever shy away from speaking out. I've never shied away from speaking out. And if you do shy away from speaking out, then you should know that you're in a dangerous situation. This is not how democracy works, and you can still have a civil conversation. But I mean, forever, I couldn't even sit down with Republicans to talk about policy, because you just worry about how are they trying to get me and screw me over? How are they trying to frame what I'm saying? How are they videotaping? Like, it's just too much. And so there's no trust there. They're going to have to restore that trust, and it's just not going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen via CPAC. I will say, I am looking forward to how how many House seats and Senate seats were able to capture via Trump's speech at the CPAC on this weekend, because that's all it's going to do. Same thing with the Republican Party chair, Marge Green, as well. It's going to, you know, those are their two spokespeople, and that's who they're going to have attached to every competitive race. And I'll tell you what, they're not popular in competitive districts. And so I don't know what kind of la-la land they're thinking of, but we don't also have to focus on the White House, and we have the White House, and we have a president in office, and we hold the House and the Senate. And so there's also investigations going on. People are going to prison. There'll be members of Congress that go to prison. So we've got a long road here, and I'm smiling. So just let that be creepy enough for you, because if I'm smiling, you know there's some people that are about to get arrested.
Let's talk about that. I mean, I wanted to talk a little bit about Trump's speech, but you know, the fact that his tax returns have been handed over, all of the other stuff that goes with it has been handed over, and there's talk, and I don't know how accurate this is, but there's been some reporting and some talk of this Adam Weisselberg, who is his you know chief accountant, that there's talk that he's going to end up working with the DA, and that would be the end for Trump and the whole clan.
Yeah, he's been a longtime CFO for the Trump Organization and other offshoots, you know, the different shell corporations they have around the world. He's privy to the private assets that they've hidden in countries like India and China. I'm not sure if people were aware of that, but obviously he does not keep all his money here, so he does not track all that in his taxes. He has funds that are set up in countries like India and China. I'm not sure exactly how much money is housed over there, but it's not all based here. I think with the investigation, obviously New York is a top dog. What I've learned this week, the Georgia investigation is expanded to include Lindsey Graham and other senators and other representatives and Mark Meadows and other members of the White House staff, former White House staff. And so that I would see criminal charges over the next few months from Georgia, and I would include Trump in that. I don't know how an arrest would work in that case. I think that he'd just be served a piece of paper and then he'd have to show up at court. I'm not sure how the security works with that, but they're going to have to figure that out. I do believe that he's going to get charged in the Georgia case. With New York, I mean, we're looking at maybe 5 or 6 months from now. If we're lucky, it could be a little bit longer. And in that, I don't think that it's going to be as much of Donald Trump. I think it's going to be more of Don Jr. That's going to be implicated, because he's been the front man for his dad in these schemes. And so his dad set it up so that if anyone's going to take the fall, it'd be Don Jr. Now, Don Jr., as though, you know, we're not the biggest fans, he is smart enough to usually watch his back enough. And so I'd like to see exactly how this father-son kind of duo is going to duke it out in court and also in the criminal schemes, because I'm sure that Don Jr. also has an escape hatch. There's just nobody that they can turn in. There's not like, oh, let me rat on this person, because they are at the top. So I would look at that investigation. We're talking about millions of documents. We're talking about tax returns, underlying evidence. We're talking about getting testimony from people that he worked with, hundreds of people. You know, this is not going to be that simple. The charges will probably be complex. It's not going to be tax fraud. It'll be specific type of mortgage fraud or loan or wire fraud. But it'll be some sort of fraud. And this is where he gets actual prison time. You know, Georgia would be something where I'm not exactly sure the depth of it, but that's a criminal act as well. And so let's just remember that there are a lot of young prosecutors who are very accomplished across the country that would like to make a name for themselves. And I'll tell you, the first one to prosecute Trump is probably the person that we would remember the most. And so I would assume, and that's not the reason why they're doing it, it's just naturally going to happen. But I would really look at Georgia as being a shocker. There, again, I can't say this enough. There are Republicans in Congress right now who will be in prison, who are going to be arrested for crimes that don't even have to do with anything that we're talking about, mostly for lobbying violations and crossing in between, letting lobbyists write law and trying to introduce that, letting lobbyists to choose who the judges are and having money transacted with that and bribery plots and blackmail. So we've got a long web of road of corruption that's going to be uncovered. And part of that, as you've seen today, was Jamal Khashoggi, the report that the Crown Prince was behind the murder. And so anyways, long story short, I think that we're looking at a lot. We're looking at a lot of criminal acts. Yeah. And, you know, he could even be charged and possibly imprisoned for 6 months in D.C. for a misdemeanor. And so these things all add up over time. And he doesn't have the money to burn, and he's about to have – all his friends are about to go bankrupt because of him as well. So it's going to be an interesting legal road. The thing that stinks about it is it usually takes a while for all this. And with a person with money, we'll have to expect a significant delay.
And not just somebody who has money, but somebody who can raise money, because the base will support him. Because I've talked to people who have said, you know, all of this tax stuff, it's just a witch hunt. And I'm going, no, when you see the other stuff that they got, the communications between them, that you'll find the intent of all of the criminal activity. And that's the dangerous stuff for Trump, I think.
Yeah. And he'll, you know, he's pretty careful about, you know, his security's careful about recording devices usually, but then he ends up trusting the wrong person and says the wrong thing out loud. And it seems as this has been a mafia or mob like organization for his entire life.
Yeah.
You know, he's got stuff on everybody else as well. So I'm sure that there's a treasure trove of little goodies and information that he has on different people. You know, the scheme that he probably ran with Epstein. I mean, it's definitely tracks back. His whole organization is a fraud, and I think he's going to be exposed for what he is. I don't know where it goes from here, but I do know, again, like, it's going to lead to charges, but whether or not it's for Donald specifically is we'll yet to find out, though.
So last question, does he hug the golden image of himself? Does he, like he did with the flag the last time he was at CPAC? Do you see that?
I mean, I guess he would probably grab a Trump flag. I could see him burning an American flag because that's who he is and that's who he represents.
I don't know about that, but, we'll see what happens on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Grab the popcorn. But as always, Scott, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Great stuff as always.
Thank you, brother. And I guess he would have to touch it, and the flag would probably automatically catch fire.
There you go. Good stuff. Our good friend Scott Dworkin. Make sure you check out his podcast, The Dworkin Report. Fabulous stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.